I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, start with verse 1. I didn't do it, Isaiah. Praise God. Yes, I am waiting. Make sure I've got what I'm supposed to be doing here. Hallelujah. David, thank you for the honor flights and all the stuff you do for our veterans. Amen. Just got back from another successful trip. And that is such a blessing to our veterans. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Start with verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter. As if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, there's a lot going on in these verses that I just read, but there's a couple of things I want to focus on today. And that is that there is deception and there is strong delusion that is taking place today. We know that. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves falling into that ourselves. But there's a lot of things yet to be fulfilled. Now, just like in Paul's day, there are those who are saying a lot of things that's coming to pass. If you spend too much time on social media, there are a lot of people on social media that live off the sensational and adrenaline-pumping declarations that keep you coming back and looking at their site and hearing what they say, but it's not truth. There's so much self-promotion today that it's hard to find our way through all of the wannabes and actually find the truth of what's said. There are a lot of people that call themselves prophets, and they are not prophets of God. They are prophets of the enemy. They are prophets of themselves. They are prophets of desire, what they desire to see instead of what is. They deceive. There are churches today that are pastored by the devil himself. Amen. It always helps if I smile when I make statements like that. I've been saying lately that a lot of churches could be pastored by Satan himself and not feel condemnation or conviction in their services or in the messages that are preached because they've all focused on the natural. Satan is not one that is ghoulish, like a lot of people's getting ready to celebrate on Halloween, all the ghoulish stuff. Now, that is an aspect of evil. I know that. I've been around it. I've seen it all over the world. I've cast demons out of people in every place that I've been. I've met demonic entities. I've been confronted by demonic powers and principalities. I've met them personally. And I want to tell you something. The most fearful thing of coming in contact with a demonic principality is not the ghoulish evil of that entity. It is the persuasion of that enemy. Because he is so persuasive that it's hard to resist his persuasion. The most terrifying thing I've experienced is trying to resist the persuasive statements and words that were being spoken to me because it seemed right. And the only thing that kept me from believing or succumbing to that was the truth that had been hidden in my heart and protected me with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a day where deception is the rule, not truth. And we have got to be very focused and we've got to be very careful what we listen to and what we get caught up in, because the devil, if he cannot defeat the people of God, he will join our ranks and become the leader. Self-promotion, arrogance, narcissism has become the rule of the day in ministries across this nation. And God is bringing that to an end. I know that sounds tough. I know that sounds harsh. And I know for years I've heard it said, and I'm not sure who coined this phrase, but I've been taught all my life that Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And if you don't, you know, if you grieve him, he'll leave and all this kind of stuff. And I just refute that. That's one of the silliest things I've ever heard. Holy Spirit is a determined warrior. He's the one that doesn't quit when we quit. He's the one that keeps fighting when we don't want to fight anymore. He's the one that takes a stand when our backbones are shaking and trembling. Holy Spirit, if people that have that philosophy have a hard time, what are you going to do with the fact that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went into the temple and began to turn over tables and with a whip drive people out of the temple? Was that a gentleman? What about when he shook the jail in Philippi to the point that it fell apart? Holy Spirit will come in like a roaring wind if we just simply let him do what he wants to do. He is not afraid of the devil. He is not afraid of us. He is not afraid of this society. And he will do what needs to be done. He is a force to be reckoned with. Amen. He's not this weak little apologetic, easily offended spirit that if he doesn't get his way and you don't agree with him, he packs up his toys and goes home. He's stronger than any of us could ever want to be. He is determined. Amen. I know I talk different than a lot of people do today, but I, I have come to the place, you know, I didn't fit for years in the kingdom of God because this is who I am and what I am. And for years, you know, it talks about, I just read verses that talks about until the great falling away comes first. Well, that does not mean that God's not going to be here. It doesn't mean that he abdicates the throne. It doesn't mean the church shuts down. It doesn't mean, it means there's a great falling away, and we have seen a great falling away. We have seen the people of Israel turn away from God. Matter of fact, the majority of people in leadership in Israel are atheists. They are not believing Jews. They are atheists. There is a great falling away that has happened. But when I was in my early 20s, I had an encounter with God after 3 weeks of fasting and praying. I had an encounter with God, and he showed me that he was not leaving. He was not giving up. Matter of fact, he showed me that the greatest move of his presence is ahead of us, and we have been seeing it all over the world for years now, and it is increasing now like we have never seen it before. There is more happening now than has ever happened in the history of the church. Just all depends on what you want to pay attention to. Amen. There's tremendous revivals taking place across this nation right now. I've been getting report after report of college campuses where thousands of students are showing up for worship services, and they're worshiping, they're getting saved, they're coming out, they're praying, they're seeking God, they're being baptized. And we look at it and say, oh no, it's the end. The devil's taken over. No, he's not. He who restrains is still restraining. The church hasn't left the building yet. Amen. We're not gone yet. And we will be a force to be reckoned with until Jesus decides that we are no longer necessary. And then we'll be up with him eating supper while everybody else is going through all the torment stuff. Amen. Now, I know a lot of you just went to you know, all your doctrine. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, four-trib, five-trib, no-trib. My doctrinal belief on eschatology is this: I'm going to work until he comes. I'm going to preach until he takes me out. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do until the day that he takes me home, and then I'm going to be gone. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know what your philosophy tells you, but I am going to occupy until he comes, and I'm going to keep working. Amen. Your pre-trib won't stand up in China. They've been going through tribulation for a long time. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know I'm just picking at you today. Amen. You're not going to have to listen to me for about 4 weeks, so I'm just going to give you a good dose of it. Amen. Praise God. This is the, what is it? I'm trying to remember what my mom used to, what was it? Used castor oil. When we was growing up, every once in a while, my parents would give us a dough. I believe it was castor oil. I don't know. You know, and it'd have a little bit of sugar mixed in it. But that's awful stuff. Praise God. Well, I'm going to mix a little sugar in it today, but I'm going to give you a dose of castor oil today. Amen. We're going to kill some parasites. Come on, somebody. When I was in my early 20s, God took me on a journey, and I know some of y'all flip out about this kind of stuff, but you wasn't there. I was. God took me on a journey. Took me to countries all over the world. I saw all colors of skin, mostly dark-skinned people. I saw the glory of God touching them, oceans of people. And when Reinhard Bonnke came on the scene and began to hold his crusades and his meetings, I started seeing pictures, and I said, God, that's what you showed me. It's happening. That's what you showed me. And I had those on my office wall for a long time because I'd already seen it. I saw what was happening. And God showed me that he was going to move and this world was going to be shaken with the gospel one more time. And I got to tell you something. We are in a time right now where we are restraining the lawless one, but we're not just restraining. We are on the move. The church is on the move around this world, and we have not lost our power. We have not been abandoned by God. We have not been forsaken. We are the children of the Most High God, and he is moving in some amazing ways. I want to read a couple of things to you. I've debated on whether to even read all this stuff, but I'm going to again. We're going to revisit some stuff. I'm going to read again the word that God gave me here recently. It says, we have entered through the door and crossed over the threshold of divine impact. The compromising conglomerates of carnal Christianity will be driven out and into the arms of the deceiver who they worship. They will become more vile and committed to their perversion until their flesh literally begins to consume them, all the while saying they represent God. But those who are yielded and connected in the kingdom to their heavenly Father, Yahweh, through the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, will confound the delusional hypocrites of this Jezebelian church. Because while they expect our demise, we will flourish as people will begin to flee from the lies of perversion, crying out for something real that can deliver them from the torment raging in their souls. What must we do to be saved will become the cry of the lost again as they are encountered by the holy presence of the living God. The divine impact will be as destructive as it is wonderful. The rebellious will be flung to their demise in this ungodly world, but the righteous will sit at the table spread before them in the presence of their enemies. The word God gave me in 6:19-22. And this was a surprise to me. I had to even look this stuff up. I had no idea what Holy Spirit was talking about. It says, hear me, O Zimri. Hear my voice, you spirit of Dachau. Because you have stretched forth your hand against my kings and priests at a time not appointed. You have been judged and your hand has been stayed against my people. Now those in whom you trust and are your strength will crumble and fall. You have prematurely come against my authority. For I have not withdrawn my authority from my kings and my priests. Therefore they will rise against you. In your arrogance you thought you could touch my anointed without retribution. And in your ignorance you thought by removing a few vessels you could kill this vision. This call, this anointing. But I tell you that this vision, this call, and this anointing has been spread and birthed into a multitude of my beloved. And now I will release my power in them to move and to display my glory throughout the earth, and my retribution is coming upon you for the trespass against my kingdom. As Holy Spirit declared these things to my mind, what he was telling me was that we have been given, because of the arrogance of demonic power, they are so arrogant. Satan is so arrogant. He knows what the Word of God says and yet somehow still believes that he can win. But as God began to speak these things to me, I began to realize he was telling me that the arrogance of the enemy has caused us to have the opportunity for one more awakening in this country and around the world. There's an awakening going on right now that we haven't seen in years. I saw the other day where thousands gathered in a football stadium, and I believe there was 1,300 people ran to the front to give their lives to Jesus Christ in a football stadium. We haven't seen things like that in a long time. Why? Because evil is waxing worse and worse, and that means the light of Jesus Christ is growing brighter and brighter and brighter, and we are going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Rightful authority is being reestablished in our country. Listen to me, I'm going to say it today, that rightful authority is coming back to our nation. And its iniquity and its corruption and its rule is going to be shown for what it is, and it's going to crumble. It doesn't mean the Antichrist isn't going to come, but God owns the time. He tells him when, he tells him how, and he tells him how long, and he is in charge of everything. And there are two theaters playing out right now. It's the will and desire of the Antichrist and the beast system, and the will and desire of Almighty God. Like I said the other day, the plans of the enemy will happen until God changes the dynamic. When God changes the dynamic, all of a sudden their plans fall apart. Amen. Praise God. When Goliath come marching out in front of the Philistines thought, we've got them now. Ain't no way they can stand against Goliath. But little David went down, picked up 5 smooth stones, and went in the name of the Lord, let go of that sling, and took their enemy out, and they lost that day. God changed the dynamic in a few seconds. And God is changing the dynamic in this nation. He is bringing the church back to repentance. He's bringing the church back to holiness. He's bringing the church back to a sanctified life where we shut out this evil and iniquity. He's getting us, he's putting a backbone back in us where we're no longer afraid of what somebody's going to say about us, or rather we're going to offend somebody. The gospel is an offense to evil, and it will always be an offense to evil. We have gotten so touchy. You know what touchy is, don't you? Where anything bothers us. I decided several years ago, and it cost me in a lot of ways, but sometimes you just got to pay a price. I decided several years ago that I wasn't going to be a part of the touchy-feely church. Amen. Seeker-sensitive churches become slaves to the petty opinions of the pablum-feeding, milk-sucking people. Sorry, that just come out. They come in and want God to somehow bow down and serve them and do it their way. Amen. You know, it seems like there's a lot of people think they're going to go to heaven singing with Elvis, "I Did It My Way." You ain't going to go to heaven doing it your way. You're going to do it Jesus' way. You're going to do it God's way. And God is telling us to submit to him, not us, not him submit to us. We are not the rulers of the universe. We are the children of God. We don't tell the Father what to do. He tells us what to do. And we honor the Father. We obey the Father. And therefore, we are under his protection when we obey him. Amen. Praise God. If our bathrooms don't suit you good enough, we'll put an outhouse out back and let you use that for a while. Amen. Several years ago, I read an article that said on church growth, it said that your children's program, which I want that to be the best that can be. Your children's program and the women's bathrooms will determine the growth of the church. So I built bigger bathrooms. We didn't grow a bit. Matter of fact, some of the women come to me and when we was making some bigger bathrooms, some women come to me and said, "Pastor, we you need to make it big enough where we can have a couch in there and we got to have this and we got to have that." And I said, "You ain't going to be spending that much time in there." Amen. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we get into. It won't get you anywhere if you come up to me and say, "Pastor, your message offended me today." I'm going to just look at you and say, "Well, good." We got somewhere. Amen. I'm an equal opportunity offending pastor. If I haven't offended you yet, I'll be to you shortly. You know why? I'm just joking. You understand I'm joking. But what I'm saying is there is no growth in comfort. Everything comes by effort, and everything comes when you are taken out of your comfort zone. Relationships do not prosper just because there's no contention. Relationships prosper because we learn how to overcome contention. Churches prosper because we learn how to overcome contention. Amen. I had a lady come up to me one time, stomped her foot. And she said, "I want those children out from in front of the church during worship. They are distracting to me." At times like that, I wish they would have approached Sister Betty. Because she's nice. I put my arm around her and I said, "Sis, I need to explain something to you. Number one, don't you ever stomp your foot again. Don't ever demand anything again. If you want to talk to me, you come to me and you talk to me with respect. And if you have a problem with something, then you talk to me about it, but I'm not going to just jump up and do whatever you want me to do." And I said, "I do not look at the tithing records. I don't know who gives what, so whatever power you think you've got, you don't have." And I said, "Those kids are more important than 500 to you." I said, "Don't you ever touch them." Then I patted her on the back and I said, "We good?" Amen. You say, "Well, that's mean, Pastor." No. For far too long, Christianity has been held hostage by those who are willing to throw fits. Come on, somebody. By those that are willing to be crude, hateful, narcissistic, demanding. And God's tired of it. Amen. He wants us to come back to a place where when we walk in, I don't even know where I'm going here. He wants us back to a place where when we walk in to worship God together, our mind and our thought are on Him and Him alone. And we worship Him with everything we've got. We lift up our hands. We worship Him with everything. We declare the glory of God. And we absorb the word. And then we go out and do something about the word. Amen. Praise God. God's bringing the church back to a place where we are useful again, where we are influence again, and where we have power and authority. God is restoring rightful authority. And the only way He can restore that is to get us to submit to it. Amen. Number one. Amen. Hallelujah. It's rough, isn't it? Wow. The word that I read about Zimri, that's found in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. Zimri, he wasn't even in line for the king. I mean, he was just over some chariots. And the king started having a drunken party. And Zimri went in and killed him and declared himself to be king. Treason. And declared himself to be king. And then the army of Israel found out about it. And they turned around and came back and they come against Zimri because of his treason. And he got so shook up that he set the king's house on fire and burned up in the king's house, and his reign lasted 6 days. And last year, Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he began to say, "Hear me, Zimri." I didn't know who Zimri was. I had to look it up. I kept thinking, "Zimri, who's Zimri?" He was the fifth king of Israel. And he only reigned for 6 days. And he was full of treason. And I'm telling you something today, Holy Spirit was speaking to this nation and saying, "I am coming against the treasonous spirits of this nation. The spirit of treason. He's coming against it. Going to pull it down." Amen. It's happening right now. Amen. And we haven't even seen really what's about to happen here. Zimri, I don't think Zimri's even showed up yet, but he's about to show up. I watched a news program the other day of what's the dummy out in California? I mean, the guy out. The governor, Newsom. Nancy Pelosi's nephew. He's been saying lately, I want to be king. I should be president. I should be president. And then went to China and spent a week in China. Get no chi behind him. He got plans. Amen. If I was Biden, I'd get me a drink tester and a food tester and amen. You're just treason afoot. But we're going to see some major shakeups in the next couple of months Matter of fact, I think next month, I've been saying all summer that watch out for October, because October was going to be a traumatic month, and we had trauma this month. Israel was attacked. There's all kinds of things been happening, and I believe that November is going to be a time of dynamic change, but it's not, don't get shook up. What I read in the very beginning here, it says don't get troubled in your mind, in your spirit, or by letter. Don't get all shook up about this stuff, because whatever man is doing, God is going to supersede it for a while and a time, because he did not give authority to these demonic spirits to move at this time, and they moved anyway, and now God is going to confront them because they are out of time. They are moving out of the authority because God has not removed authority from his appointed people. And whatever comes against what God has appointed right now, God will come against them. Now, when God says it's okay to move, then they will have his permission, but that permission has not been given yet. The lawlessness, the one of lawlessness, has not been given the green light yet. But they are out of their arrogance moving forward. But we had a miracle the other day. I don't even know who this guy is, but I like one statement he said, this Johnson that got appointed as a Speaker of the House. That was such a surprise. But they asked him his opinion. And I really like this. He said, if you want to know my opinion on world events, go pick up a Bible and read it, because that's where I get my worldview. I think maybe God snuck one in on them. Because that just come out of nowhere. He wasn't even in the running. And all of a sudden, they kept voting on this one, voting on that, and just getting a few votes. And all of a sudden, they voted on him, and he got 100%. How does that happen? Amen. And he's a Bible-thumping, preaching. Matter of fact, his wife didn't get to come to his appointment because they didn't fight on time. But he made this statement. He said, my wife is tired because she has been on her knees in the prayer closet for 2 weeks. Those are strange things to be coming out of the Speaker of the House's mouth. Amen. I think trouble's afoot. Zimri is going to be confronted. And I believe we're going to understand this more fully in just a short time. And then he said, you spirit of Dachau. Dachau was the first. I had to look this up too. I knew about Auschwitz, but Dachau, I had to look it up and say, okay, what's Dachau? Dachau was the first prison camp built under the Third Reich. And it was established, the sole purpose of Dachau was to hold political prisoners that resisted Hitler. Anybody that stood against Hitler when he was trying to take power, when he come into power, those people were arrested and put in prison camps. He removed his competition. We're seeing that today. Dachau. And then it was also used as a place where clergy was arrested across Germany and put in this concentration camp. because they didn't want anybody resisting what they were about to do. It was used for medical experiments, dealing with hyperthermia and things like that. So they perform medical experiments on people, and thousands of people died under their treatments and their experiments. It was a place of forced labor. It was a place of continual executions. Matter of fact, they were carrying out executions in a central yard, and then they built this whole other facility where they trained SS officers and a shooting range where they would take these people and the SS officers would practice by shooting prisoners. That's how they practiced their shooting range. It was the longest camp of the Third Reich. It was the first one, and it was the last one. When Holy Spirit spoke that to me, he said, "Hear me, O Zimri. Hear my voice, you spirit of Dachau." He was speaking to the spirit that has been destroying life. This nation has become a nation of murder. Mass murders. You don't hear about mass murders anywhere else. Mass murders taking place. Destruction. This nation has aborted millions and millions and millions of babies. And when they are interviewed, those that are for abortion, especially late-term abortion, when they're asked if a living being is being eliminated, they refuse to answer the question because there's no way you can justify killing a child in a womb that is about to be born or has been born and then say it's murder after it's born. Matter of fact, in California, there's a push to be able to eliminate children up to 2 years old. Which means if the parents decide that the child is not adequate or some way they don't want them, that they can have their child euthanized up to 2 years old. We look at it and we shake our head and we say, how could this happen in our country? And yet it has. What is it? It's a spirit. It's a demonic entity that is bloodthirsty and loves the sacrifice of children. You spirit of Dachau, you've moved in a time not appointed, and you're going to pay the price for it. When abortion rights became overturned, I know a lot of people are crying the blues and upset about it. I can't even imagine why, but they are. And a lot of people, one reason because it was a multi-billion-dollar industry, and a lot of people lost money. There's a place in Ukraine. You know, this battle in Ukraine isn't just about communism and all that kind of, not about Russia. It's about a lot of stuff. It's about child trafficking. There's a lab in Ukraine that processes body parts. And I forget how many billions a year, hundreds of billions a year, they make on processing the body parts of children. Show up in 55-gallon drums. And I forget how much each drum is worth. And they process these body parts. It's a sick You spirit of Dachau. You spirit of murder. You spirit of slaughter. Of medical incompetence. I know this is a heavy message, but we need to understand that this is not just some political view that we oppose. It is a demonic entity that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm going to tell you right now that God is raising up kings and priests all across this nation and around this world that is going to begin to stand up and stand against this depravity, this perversion. And the churches are going to come alive with revival, and our young people are going to come flooding back to Jesus Christ because he is the only hope for them. Amen. They're going to hear the gospel. There is a pull. There is a draw. There is a powerful drawing taking place right now across this nation, and people are starting to come back and say, we have lost our way. We need Jesus Christ. We need to commit ourselves to the Lord. This is nothing. This is silliness. This is awful. God is beginning to pull the scales off the eyes and pull the blinders off of people, and they're beginning to see what's going on around them, and they're beginning to say, I don't want to be part of this anymore. What must we do to be saved is going to become the cry again as people begin to preach the gospel with power and authority. Gone are the days of the sweet little message that pets you while you nap. God is raising up prophets, and God is raising up people with a voice that are going to shake the core of everybody's spirit until we get right with God. I felt compelled that I had to revisit this today before the first of the year. It's just a short time. For a long time, God wouldn't talk to him about anything past October and November. And I kept saying, God, why? What's going on? What's going on? But recently he started talking to me about after the first of the year, what he wants to do. And it was like, whoo, glory to God. Amen. We got hope. Things are going to begin to move forward. And we're going to begin to see the glory and power of God. And we've got to get ready to begin to nurture what God is bringing to pass and what God has given us. We have been given a gift by the arrogance of the devil. We have been given a gift that one more time the glory of God is going to be poured out on his nation and on his world, and we get to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faith is being ignited in the hearts of people again. Thank God. And I want to just tell you here at Healing River Worship Center, God's getting us ready. Amen. God's getting us ready. Every church has its own personality. I know what y'all are thinking. This one might be a little rough, but people like me are necessary. I'm just, you know, we're necessary. I've told Sister Betty that for years. I've said, honey, I know, but I'm necessary. course, I've also told her when she tells me I'm bossy, I've also told her that's a gift God gave me and I have to use it. She never has quite heard that as a word of knowledge. But there's some amazing stuff that is starting to happen in the hearts of people, and there's a distinguishing that has taken place, and it's going to become more and more evident. Those that decide to turn back to God and submit to God is going to become very obvious, because we're not going to fit the norm. We're not going to fit. But we're also going to become very effective. Okay? I've lived this thing for years. Declarations God gave me 40 years ago, I'm just now starting to see now. 40 years. There's things that I've told people 20 years ago that this year just came to pass. Sometimes it takes a while for this thing to come around and everything to come together. But I said in a prayer meeting the other day, I said, guys, listen, there's been a lot of things that God has given and told us that it's taken 20, 30, 40 years for it to happen. But we're moving into a time where God will speak to us and it'll happen in a week. There's times that God will speak to us and it'll happen that day. Everything is being accelerated. It's coming, it's speeding up, and it's becoming more powerful. Stand with me today if you would. It's becoming more evident. And God is becoming more intense with his word. Holy Spirit has not quit. He has not faded out. He has not become less powerful. He is as powerful today as he ever was. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I know I switched from my nice, sweet personality today and got mean, but praise God, shake it off. Okay, shake it off. Because God wants us to begin to celebrate what he's doing. Amen. I don't want to leave us feeling heavy in what the devil's doing. I want us to realize that that's what the devil's doing, but we are a part of what God's doing. We are in the other theater where the outpouring of the Spirit is going to become more powerful. It's going to be in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Amen. The former and the latter rain in the same month. We are coming into that time. Praise God. We have not come to the place. I got to tell you something. The Bible just said, I just read it, that this lawless one is going to sit down in his temple and declare that he is God. Well, that temple hasn't been rebuilt yet, so we got a little bit of time before a homie shows up over there and starts trying to declare himself as God. But we are in a move of the Spirit of God right now where we're going to begin to see an increase of the manifestation of the things of God. You know how that's going to take place? It's going to take place in you. It's going to take place in your workplace. It's going to take place on the street. It's going to take place in your life, in your home. Prodigals are coming home. Estranged families are going to begin to come back together. There are those that are under delusion that are going to see the light. Just because they've come under a strong delusion doesn't mean the light can't penetrate that delusion. Hallelujah. My opinion is, doesn't matter what the devil says, God always wins. Amen. God, the devil tried to steal my family, tried to steal my children, tried to take everything I've had, tried to steal my life several times. But I serve a God that always wins. He always comes out on top. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, our yes is on the table. Speak to us. Move through us, God. Build us into a holy temple, a holy place of God, a holy habitation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God, give us strength to stand. God, give us strength to stand against the wiles of the devil, against deception, against disappointment. Father, I just rebuke the power of disappointment in the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, for your revelation of who you are. God, set the word of God on fire inside of us, Lord God. Let it burn like a flame of fire. In the name of Jesus.